With great power comes great responsibility.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman!
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Maybe your army comes, and maybe it's too much for us, but it's all on you. Because if we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Wonder Woman!
Journey!
Okay, so since I ran a little bit long last time, today I'm going to talk about my experience with Batman. You know, in a way, it's similar to my experience with Superman, in that I haven't read a lot of Batman comic books. But definitely more Batman than Superman. Most of the DC stuff that I had was Batman related, one way or the other. But yeah, my first exposure to Batman was, like most other people, was the 1960s Adam West Batman show. And that version, you know, I watched many, many reruns of Batman shows. Before that, maybe I did watch I did know Batman from the Super Friends cartoon from Saturday mornings. And there was actually a Batman and Robin Hanna-Barbera cartoon for a couple years, I think. And I watched those episodes too. And they, you know, of course, had the Joker and Penguin and the Riddler and all those things. And a lot of other weird crooks. But, you know, that was the Batman that I knew. Either from Saturday morning cartoons or from the Adam West TV show. Of course, the biggest Batman event that I was a part of was the 1989 Tim Burton's Batman. With Michael Keaton as the Batman and Jack Nicholson as the Joker. And that was amazing. Nothing was bigger than Batman. It's kind of interesting that, you know, Superman came out in 1978, you know, almost 10 years after Superman blew everybody away and became the definitive Superman. Now, 10, 11 years later, we have Michael Keaton as Batman. And I was into it, man. I really loved that movie. I thought it was great. That is the Batman. That was awesome. And I loved everything about it. But yeah, it was probably around that time that I started getting some of the Batman comics and enjoying those. You know, I got the trade paperbacks like, you know, Death in the Family, where Robin is killed. Not Dick Grayson, but Jason Todd. And I got The Killing Joke, and I got some other trade paperbacks, and I started to get Batman as a regular comic. But I did like getting the trade paperbacks and reading. I think I also got, there was a graphic novel with Batman and Ra's al Ghul. So I liked reading Batman trade paperbacks and collections. It's interesting though, I never did read, don't kill me now, don't get mad, but I never did read the Frank Miller Dark Knight Returns book. Truth be told, I still haven't read that book. Don't say it too loud. People are going, oh, you what? You've never read that book? Nope, I haven't. But I did read some other Batman trade paperbacks, and I enjoyed those quite a bit. But the regular series, I didn't get into. I think I stopped after a while. Batman Returns came out when I was on my mission, so I didn't see that until I came back, and I liked the movie, but I wasn't as excited about it as I was the first one, the 1989 Batman. You know, I liked a lot of the things that they carried through from the first Batman movie. You know, I liked Michael Keaton as Batman. I liked the action scenes with him in it. I liked Selena Kyle. And there were parts of her performance that I liked as Catwoman. But her origin and Max Schreck and everything with the Penguin I thought was just silly. And I didn't like the Penguin at all. You know, I would have preferred Burgess Meredith going around, you know, nothing against Danny DeVito as an actor, but I just didn't like Tim Burton's vision of what the Penguin was, who he was, and, you know, just kind of how he was just kind of a disgusting little man. And there wasn't anything cool about Penguin. And I would have liked to have seen more of Selina Kyle and her interaction with Bruce Wayne and Batman. That part of it to me was really interesting. Of course, you know, that's the fun of Catwoman because of her relationship and her kind of being similar but different than Batman in many ways. And kind of the yin and yang of their relationship, I guess. So I liked that part of it, but there was just too much other stuff that I didn't like going on. So that was unfortunate. So yeah, Batman Returns came out in 1992. And the next Batman movie, of course, was Batman Forever in 1995. And that was with Val Kilmer as the Batman. And then, of course, we had Jim Carrey as the Riddler and Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face. And then we had Robin involved in that movie. And when at the time that movie came out, I liked it quite a bit. I thought it was better than Batman Returns. Even though I really liked Michael Keaton as Batman, I thought Val Kilmer did a good enough job in that movie. And I've always liked the Riddler. And even though Jim Carrey, you know, went way over the top, I still liked the Riddler. And I liked how they got Robin's origin story correct. That he was a circus performer and his family was killed and Two-Face was involved. And he was an orphan. Even though, of course, he was older than I would have expected Robin to be. I liked that they got his origin correct according to the comics. And I liked a lot of the action. And I did think that Val Kilmer did a good job as Batman and the action scenes were really good. And I thought there was a lot of heart to it. And I think the fact that I liked it better than Batman Returns made me have a higher opinion of it than I do now. I still like the movie. I think it's a good movie. I like how they got more into kind of the origin story and a little bit more about Bruce himself as a person rather than just mostly about the Batman. And as much as I like Michael Keaton in the role, you know, I think I think he played both Bruce Wayne and Batman in a really cool way. They didn't really make Bruce Wayne too deep of a character. He was just more of a backdrop, and we liked him because he was Michael Keaton, and Michael Keaton's kind of cool. So we liked Bruce Wayne because of that. And with Batman Forever, they delved more into Bruce Wayne and him as a kid and why he became Batman. And I watching him struggle with the possibility of being responsible for somebody else like Robin. Was kind of neat to see in their relationship. And so I thought it was a pretty decent movie. You know, with some of the things that I came to realize weren't very good about the movie were it was pretty cheesy in parts, and especially toward the end. And yeah, Jim Carrey does really take over too much and it becomes more about him than it does about Batman. And that gets old on subsequent watchings of the movie. And I realized how disappointing the performance of Tommy Lee Jones was for Two-Face and how much they didn't do Two-Face justice with the way they did it he really wasn't a necessary character in the movie other than for Robin's origin story. And then, of course, there was Batman and Robin. There's really not a lot good to say about Batman and Robin. It's too bad that that was the movie that George Clooney took over as Batman, because I thought he could have done a good job. I thought he could have been a good Bruce Wayne and a good Batman, but the movie that they gave him was just complete crud. Dr. Freeze was silly. Poison Ivy was silly. Bane was silly. You know, there was nothing serious or forthright or good about the Batman or Robin or anybody. You know, there's a couple good scenes with Bruce Wayne and Alfred, because of course that's the heart of the show that they were trying to get, was, you know, Alfred was dying and what could they do to save Alfred. So that was kind of the heart of that show, and I liked a lot of those elements with Alfred and Bruce. But other than that, there's not a lot to like. I mean, you know, there's kind of a childlike, you know, attraction to the cheesiness and to the camp. And, you know, if you're in the right mood, some of those lines could be funny. But the whole, you know, both the whole Batman and Robin fighting over Poison Ivy and the Batman credit card and the bat skates and the, you know, surfing, windsurfing down out of the helicopter, and just, it was so over the top and so one-dimensional that it wasn't a good movie. But, you know, that was 1997, and then if you fast forward 8 years from that to 2005, that's when we start over with Batman. We have Batman Begins, and we go back to an origin story for Batman, which had never been done. It was alluded to a little bit in Batman Forever, 1989 Batman, Batman Returns, all those movies. They had never done an origin story. Batman just existed. Maybe he was getting a start, and getting known out in the public, but we didn't see that origin story, that transition from how do you become Batman out of Bruce Wayne. And so here we have Christopher Nolan in 2005 giving us Batman Begins, and totally changed the landscape and the perspective that we have on Batman. It's like he bought the house and he completely redecorated, remodeled this house, and then comes in for the reveal and just totally stuns us all. You know, a lot of people say that Batman Begins, as good as it is, they say that it's the weakest of the Christopher Nolan trilogy. Of course, we have Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, and The Dark Knight Rises. That's kind of the trilogy of Nolan's movies that we just saw the end of last year. And I think after seeing all three movies, I think I still like Batman Begins best. Even more than Dark Knight. And Dark Knight was an awesome movie. You know, a lot of people say it's the best superhero movie ever made, because you have the brilliant performance of Heath Ledger as the Joker, and there's nothing I can do to take that away from him. I mean, that vision of the Joker was different than anything we'd seen before. Of course, the whole Christopher Nolan trilogy is different than any Batman we've seen before. You know, we have Bruce Wayne as Batman, we have Alfred, we have Lucius Fox, and all these supporting characters. And I loved to see, you know, the evolution of Jim Gordon as well. You know, we saw him graduate to commissioner throughout the trilogy, and we saw the relationship with him and Batman change. As good as The Dark Knight was, I really wasn't satisfied with the ending. I never really got I understood how Bruce wanted Harvey Dent to be the symbol of the future for Gotham, and that if Harvey Dent was there, that Batman wasn't needed anymore, and that that symbol that he had created as the Batman would go away, that Harvey Dent would be the hero. So I understood that part of it, but I hated the, at the end where he runs away and, you know, says that people need to believe that Batman killed Harvey Dent, you know, that Batman's the hero that Gotham deserves, but not the one it needs. You know, I just didn't buy that. I just didn't like that resolution. And I think it kind of hurt the beginning of the Dark Knight Rises as well. But the movie as a whole, you know, Dark Knight was just amazing. And, you know, I liked how, you know, he went to Hong Kong and he did things outside of Gotham, even though he was there to save Gotham and that was his main thrust. You got to see him outside of Gotham. You got to see him do something else. And I liked the whole aspect throughout the trilogy of it's Team Batman. You know, it's not just Bruce Wayne going out every night as Batman. He has the support of Alfred, not just as a butler, not just as somebody to take care of his needs, but a partner in investigating crime and doing things. And Lucius Fox, the same thing, you know, providing him with all of his gadgets and everything. Awesome, wonderful, great idea. And I don't know if that came from the comics or not, because again, I haven't followed a lot of the comics, but I thought that was really good stuff. And I like how Nolan did focus on the villains and gave them their due, but he didn't get distracted from presenting us with a realistic three-dimensional Bruce Wayne and Batman and giving Batman his due and not just focusing on the villains like we'd seen in pretty much all the previous films. And so that was great. And Bane, my goodness, I thought Bane was the scariest. And I've said this before, but I mean, man, just he was smart and he was strong and he was just unstoppable. I loved the character of Bane. And it made me mad that he was just cast away at the end so easily. But man, I really enjoyed watching him and seeing how he took over Gotham and did all those things. And I really did like the whole trilogy. But, you know, as I think about all three of those movies, I do keep coming back to Batman Begins. I just really like the story of his origin and the League of Shadows and Ra's al Ghul and just how all that came together in Batman Begins. And of course, you know, we know that extends into Dark Knight Rises. All three of those films are just great. And they all have their... And they, you know, I think Christopher Nolan just put together a wonderful tapestry of amazing superhero fiction and cinema. And it's hard to beat what he put together in his Batman trilogy. And so I guess that brings us to today, right? That trilogy's over with. And as I talked about before, the Man of Steel has been out there. No, I haven't seen it. But the sequel to Man of Steel is going to feature Batman. It's going to be Superman versus Batman or Superman and Batman or whatever. And from everything that people that know the comics better have heard and seen, it's going to be the movie version of the Dark Knight Returns comic book by Frank Miller. You know, they probably will put their own spin on it. Maybe it won't be a straight up adaptation of it, but I'm very interested to see what they do with Batman in the Man of Steel sequel. And of course, Ben Affleck is going to be Batman in that movie and probably subsequent movies after that as they go to the Justice League, and who knows what they're going to do with it. But I like the idea of Ben Affleck playing Batman. I think he's got the acting chops for it. I think he's gained a lot in the last 10 years or so since he's played Daredevil. And I didn't think his performance as Daredevil was that bad. As bad as everybody says it was, I really liked him in that role, and I liked that movie. It's no Dark Knight, you know. I mean, I'm not saying that it was one of the best superhero movies ever, but I thought Daredevil held its own for what it was, and that was one of the very early movies in this resurgence of superhero movies. And you know, at that point, you know, everybody was trying to find their feet in the superhero, and so it wasn't a perfect movie. But it was a darn good movie and very entertaining. And I thought anything that was wrong with it, it wasn't Ben Affleck as Daredevil. And so to see him make that transition to become Batman is just, I don't see any problem with it. And so I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the future of Batman, to see how that progresses. And, you know, how he incorporates into the Justice League. And who knows if we'll see solo Batman movies in the future. You know, it might just be an integrated universe from now on. Who knows? I don't know what their plans are. But I'm excited to see. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I enjoy the character of Batman. I enjoy the character of Superman. Seeing them together will be kind of a cool thing. So that's why I thought it would be fun to see them come together in the radio show that I played. And, you know, this superhero marathon's been a lot of fun. And we still have a few more days left and some more fun to come. So I hope you continue to join me here. And we'll continue to journey on for more superhero stuff. Anyway, have a good time. See you tomorrow. Please be advised that this podcast is produced under Creative Commons Attribution on commercial no derivatives license. You can share it, but not change it or sell it.